the network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.
This is the AV Social Show, Episode 9, Creative Chaos, an intro to corporate branding, recorded August 15th, 2013.
Social, everybody. This is Dawn Mead. I am the marketing and media coordinator for NetAV here in Maryland, and I am one of your hosts for AV Social. I'm joined today with our other lovely co-host, Kelly Perkins, the marketing and communications manager for Vadio. Kelly, say hi.
Hello. Hope everybody's having a wonderful day.
Indeed. It's kind of cold here on the East Coast. And being joining us from the South today for the first time, we have Michael Bridwell, who is the Director of Marketing Communications for Digital Projection. Welcome, Michael.
Hello. Hi there. How are you?
Wonderful. Today, we are going to be talking about branding. If you recall last episode of AV Social, we talked about personal branding. Today, we're going to go a little bit corporate and talk about the bigger picture. Let's see here. Last episode, we dealt with building your own personal brand, figuring out who you are and what you stand for and what that has to do with your business. Corporate branding is very similar, and a lot of the concepts will cross over. So if it feels like a sense of deja vu while you're listening to this, there is some crossover. We may cover a few things over again, but looking at it from a different perspective. So... really quickly, I guess we can jump right in if nobody has any questions. What is branding? Let's go to one of the experts. Michael, in your view, what is branding? What all does it encompass?
I would say it's basically your calling card across all platforms, right? It's the most recognizable aspect for a person or a company. Basically an identifier that ranges across graphics, it ranges across communication philosophy, it ranges across social, all sorts of aspects. Brand is kind of carried throughout as a theme of sorts for a company.
Great. Kelly, anything to add to that? Michael did a very good job of summing it up there.
Yeah, I mean... I guess I've been kind of looking up definitions of corporate branding and how we've done it here at Vadio and how I've seen it done across the board. And in kind of a more broader scope, probably the best definition I found broke it down into three parts, kind of like your company's vision, your company's culture, and your company's image. And it's just kind of these three pieces kind of umbrellaed over all of the things that Michael mentioned, which fall underneath all of those and kind of entwine. So it is everything, including, from the way other people see your company, the way other people feel towards your company, the look of your company. It's a whole bunch of different things. But again, I do like the way that they had broken it up into three different pieces: your company's vision, your company's culture, and your company's image.
That is a fantastic breakdown. I'm over here taking notes on this because I plan to start implementing some of that here. I know the two of you come from the world of manufacturers here in AV. Coming from an integrator standpoint, and specifically a small integrator, we have a tendency a lot of times, the smaller businesses, to think, oh, a brand, I've got a logo, and my colors are red and blue on the truck. That's my brand. And it really does encompass a lot more than just simply what color your shirt's embroidered in and what's the shape that's on your letterhead. But there are a lot of very specific things that all fall under. We tend to think more in terms of image with branding, logo, colors, the fonts that you use on your graphics and on your marketing materials, design features. If you have a very specific, if you make a product and you have a very specific look, one of our favorite manufacturers, you know, we all know for many years had the gray boxes when all the other manufacturers made black boxes for racks. And it was sort of the one year they had an Extron gray t-shirt that was made. Something like a design feature can count towards your brand or your brand identity. And slogans, too, something we consider. And that ties in a lot with the vision and culture that you mentioned, Kelly. So when we're looking at branding, you know, there are so many different facets of it. You know, does your company have a brand and is it a strong one? Is it more than just a logo? I know Kelly's company does a great job with this. Vadio has their logo and fonts, and if you go to their website and their Twitter page, all of those things sort of tie together. Is there anything you do specifically to sort of manage that on your end, Kelly?
You know, when I first started at Vadio, we were kind of all over the place, and it's been many, 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 many years and a lot of different people to help kind of streamline it. And I mean, we're still working on it and struggling with it, you know, and I think it's one of those things where it's ongoing. But, you know, just taking small steps to kind of put together, we just recently put together kind of a brand guidelines, which is fairly loose because we tend to go off on random tangents, you know, via how some of our management feels or certain products that we're launching or we're trying to get across some sort of like certain campaign idea. But I mean, for the most part, we'll kind of, you know, keep the logo the same and the look and the colors and certain things across, you know, especially across like our online presence.
Kelly, great point about, you know, trying to keep your brand consistent even when you have other marketing ideas happening. You all did a great job of that this year at Infocom with your Vadio AC/DC looking t-shirts. You know, it wasn't a case of you changed your brand. You just brought in this theme for the show that, you know, and you put it on some of your marketing materials, but it's not in any way replacing, you know, the real quote unquote Vadio brand.
And hopefully AC/DC didn't find it.
Yeah. Well, that depends how many people wear it and how far it spreads on the internet. But, you could always say it's an homage to Harry Potter instead.
There you go.
Michael, how about you folks over at Digital Projection? I mean, everything I've ever seen from you all seems to be very consistent brand-wise and thematically. You know, what's your policy on that?
Well, we actually, for us, there's a little bit of friction there because we aren't a consolidated company. Like we have headquarters in Manchester, UK. We have offices in Singapore and China and Germany, France, all over the place. And the company itself has a ton of old legacy and respect. It's, you know, 16 years into it. But when I started 5.5 years ago, it wasn't a very well-known brand at all. And frankly, they didn't have a unified brand guideline set or anything of that nature. And we've kind of been growing into it. And I'd say we try to be consistent, but the thing that I have tried to bring in over 5.5 years is more an approachable kind of spirit. And I would say Vadio does a great job of doing this. I'm a big fan of what they've done on this side, which is, brand guidelines are fantastic. They're great to keep. They're really great for keeping anybody on a third party level in line with what your sort of expectations are for the brand. But you also need to enliven that brand with energy and vivacity and a little bit of creative chaos. And so we take risks within the brand guidelines that I don't really want my third parties doing. But we take them jovially here in-house. I mean, we've taken risks pretty much at every trade show as far as trying to go into an interesting theme to get people excited about it. And that's far beyond and outside the reach of a legacy brand. So I would say weekly, we're still towing that line between pushing a legacy brand into a much more interactive space. And that goes along with everything you do on the social side and everything of that nature, which you you have the brand that's intact, but you want to stretch it. I like the friction of stretching it a little bit.
Right, right. Great. And I love the term creative chaos. I'm totally going to steal that and use that. I'm noticing, you know, with both you and Kelly being from manufacturers, and I'm totally coming at it from not just the integrator end, but the small integrator end, it's almost like two separate topics, even though it's the same topic, because, you know, you both have sort of the name recognition, the widespread interest in your product and knowledge of your products. So you're able to take risks like the stretching of the brand and going off into different directions. I found on the integrator side that, well, to go back to a literary allusion, you know, E.E. Cummings, the great poet that was known for not using punctuation in capitals, he always said, before you break the rules, you have to learn the rules. And it's like, before you start stretching a brand, you have to establish one. And I've found, at least in my own experience with several smaller integrators, too often they don't do that first. They might have a logo or like I said, you know, we're going to use red. Red is our brand. It's like, well, not really. That's your color of your shirt, but okay. You know, they don't put in the groundwork to build a brand first and then experiment. So when you first come into a smaller integrator, a lot of times you find a sort of hot mess where, you know, these business cards look like this, but your marketing materials that you're handing out to clients and leaving behind look like that or look completely different from each other even, you know, which doesn't match the website that someone's kid made for you or some freelancer made for you. You know, so it's kind of chaotic, not in a creative way, I think. So, you know, if you're listening to the podcast from the integrator front, small integrators, please, please, please get a company style guide or guidebook, brand Bible, whatever you want to call it, together first. What is your logo? How do you use your logo? What colors exactly do you use? Don't tell me you use red. Tell me what hex code or what Pantone color or what RGB value that red is. You know, if you're handing out business cards that have like a pinkish red and your website is, you know, brick red and something else is, you know, a blue toned red, it kind of looks poorly put together. Similarly, you know, I mean, do you guys agree sort of just kind of
I would dash? Say before I came to the industry, I was on the brand consulting side, and I would, every time I had a new client, I would try to get them to start before the logo even begins. And something that any size of business needs to keep in mind when they're building a brand package, brand guideline, is you're literally creating a box, an ecosystem that you are going to have to live in for from here until, if you're lucky, 50 years from now. So the main things to remember when you're building anything from a brand perspective is create something that actually reflects your company. I mean, Vadio does a great job of that, I feel. It's professional, but it has a certain whimsical, lighthearted air to the branding, and I really enjoy that. And I mean, really, because every single thing is going to stem from the logo on out. I mean, your website, your social presence, everything is going to sort of reverberate around this one central signifier. So just make sure that it's yours. Don't design for somebody else. I've seen so many generic logos that have been pumped out in the last 5 years that are all basically identical. And it's so much better to feel free enough to be who you are and have that reflected in all your materials. People will get to know you better.
Great, great points. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's something we're even undergoing here at NetAV. You know, when I came on board, fortunately, the owners, they had a very strong logo designed, whether they designed it or they had someone design it for them. They had a strong logo that said something about what the company does, if that makes sense. I don't know if you've ever seen our logo. It's sort of like a word mark, but the hyphen between the net and the AV is a power blink. It's a little, you know, it's like a little power light for a piece of technology, which, you know, and the colors that they chose, you know, and I've been able to take that strong logo and just take it in new directions on the website, on the social media. I'm in the process of redesigning the business cards to be a little more visually exciting. But that strong, basic logo that says what we do and says something about the company, I think has carried through very well. And I think had I not had that to work with, it would have been a heck of a lot more challenging on this end. But, you know, absolutely think beyond just what your logo is and remember that you're going to have to be using this stuff hopefully a long time. You can redesign your campaign. You know, like I said, we're doing a new business card that looks totally different than our old one. But, you know, we can redesign every couple of years. But the basics, the colors, the fonts, maybe the logo itself, the way we use the word marks and the slogans and things, all of those are consistent, even if they're, you know, looking a little more modern with the new basic, you know, design of things, if that makes sense.
I would agree with that. I mean, I think as long as you have like a starting ground, something to start from, whether it's a logo, whether it's some sort of mark or something visual, you can feed off that, and you can continually refresh and, you know, rebrand a little bit, you know, alter things, update them to make everything look a little bit more updated, maybe every 6 months, maybe every year, you know, but as long as you keep the same kind of, you know, core logo, core color, core feeling, I think you'll be fine.
Right. And I think it goes to what you said, you know, your vision and your culture and a lot of points of your image, you know, you sort of decide and they're consistent. And then everything else can evolve and grow around that. And you can bring in a new graphic artist who has a completely different vision. As long as it fits your vision and culture and image, their, you know, swooshy line as opposed to very angular line or what have you, it won't really matter. It'll bring a fresh flavor to an existing brand. You know, and if you look at established non-AV brands, look at Coca-Cola, all the things they can do with their brand. In honor of you, Michael, since you're in Atlanta, you know, you don't lose that script writing that says Coca-Cola. Everyone knows what the Coca-Cola font is, you know, and everybody knows that they have the red and white color and the red and silver and white for the diet and so forth. But if you look at all the different campaigns and ideas and ways that they play with that, but it all comes back to those same core design elements that are in their style book. That's what a lot of small integrators lack and what you guys in the manufacturer side seem to be doing really well. And so I'm taking notes. you know, you want to use your brands.
You're selling products and you're selling services, you know?
Right. It makes it a lot harder when we can't just point to the box and say, that's what we do.
I don't know. I like the service branding side a lot. I think that's a lot of fun.
Well, we will certainly talk after this call.
Especially for people like me and Kelly who have products, and a product is a product is a product.
Right.
And you're basically marketing spec of a product. But services are inspiring. You can wrap services around a particular theme, or you can wrap it around the team itself. Or it's all sorts of options there. I like services a lot.
Right. Well, great.
I think you can do a lot with it. But I think that goes back to almost the idea of product branding versus corporate branding.
Right.
You know, whether your product is, you know, a physical product or whether your product is a service versus actual corporate branding, you can kind of go back and forth and kind of leverage both into like different fun ideas, you know? Am I making sense?
No, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I mentioned some of the things we're talking about today crossover with even what we talked about last show with personal branding, because, you know, when you're doing these different branding elements, a lot of it is sort of the same stuff, but you're approaching it slightly differently. You know, Michael, like you said, branding people versus branding, you know, brand your team and how you make your customer feel versus branding this box or this lens or this camera, you know, you use a lot of the same skills, same ideas, but not necessarily in the same way, I think.
Mm-hmm. Which gives you a little bit more flexibility too.
Right.
Which is fun if you can come out with a lot of different products.
Or a mix of product and services. That's a great mix.
There you go.
Right. And that's something that integrators, some of them do very well. If my company necessarily doesn't do box sales a lot. I mean, nowadays we're evolving more into a strictly service-based, you know, we still sell the product, but we don't sell, but we sell the product, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. When anybody can hop on Amazon or whatever and get prices in the same product, the smaller integrators, we're not doing that. But some of the guys that still sell product as well as the installation services and the service after this installation, they're doing a great job of blending that, I think. The big guys, the CCS or AVISPL, they do a pretty good job of covering their bases in that regard.
Yeah, you always have to sell the sizzle, regardless of whether it's a product or the services or not, or whatnot. But yeah, it all comes back to how do you want that thing portrayed? Like, what are the innate skills and value benefits of that thing, whether it's a service group or a product? And that's what should guide all of your decisions on the branding and marketing side.
Right. Great point. And that actually, you know, it brings to mind some non-AV necessarily, but some pretty famous logos or word marks, people that have branded well to get across those ideas. One example that leaps to mind, a lot of people have heard, if you look at the FedEx logo, you know, people don't always notice it, but between the E and the X in the FedEx logo, there's a forward pointing arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And once you see the arrow, you can't unsee it. But a lot of people don't even notice it at first. And it kind of gets across that idea. We're going, we're taking your stuff. We're getting where you need to go. Another company that does that really well is Amazon, with their Amazon logo with the arrow and the smile. It sort of gets across, we're going to make you happy with your purchase. But if you look where the arrow is placed on their logo, it goes from A to Z. Like, they'll bring you everything from A to Z and you'll smile. Stuff like that. If you can figure out a way to hook into an idea like that, that really gets your product across, gets your, what you're selling across.
I love logos like that. I think they're so good. The clever ones that have the hidden image or the hidden meaning.
I think it was Wendy's just redesigned their Wendy logo.
Yes.
And if you look closely at Wendy's collar, the collar of the character Wendy, the squiggle looks like it spells out mom in the new version. And something like that. Yeah, it's brand new. They claim it was not intentional, but it's kind of subliminal, like, you know, it's fast food, but you're going to get that care that you would from mom when you buy your food. I have personally, in our own industry, Kelly, I love the Vadio logo with the O, almost like a camera lens. That you know, if you didn't know what Vadio sold, but you're familiar with our industry, you totally get that that's a camera. I mean, maybe it wasn't intended to be a camera, but every time I've seen your logo, that's what leaps to my mind is oh yeah, Vadio, we get our cameras from them and they're awesome.
Totally intentional.
Are you just saying that because I complimented it?
Yes, another win for Creative Chaos. Another score. It's kind of like that. You remember the old, this just reminds me of being a kid, but there was always, somebody always had a pack of Camel cigarettes around. And you'd always look at the Camel because there were all these myths about what was hidden, illustrations that were hidden in the Camel itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like the myth takes the brand over at times. So you've got a cigarette company that really can't advertise very freely, but the word of mouth and the myth sort of usurped the brand's need to take a page of advertising out.
Like Tootsie Pops.
Tell me what you mean.
The Tootsie Pop wrappers? Maybe that was a Minnesota thing.
I don't know. Tell us.
Supposedly if you had the Native American shooting the arrow at the star, it meant you got a free Tootsie Pop if you brought the wrapper in. So everybody was
awesome.
Always looking for the stars.
I never heard that, but that's another situation just like that, right?
We can add that to the bars and the casseroles.
Absolutely.
That's funny.
And I think, you know, we joke about it and we talk about how awesome it is, but, you know, this creative chaos, to keep stealing Michael's phrase, you know, it's almost like trying to make something viral. You kind of can't say, I'm going to make this viral, or I'm going to make this logo that has all of these deep meanings and it's going to be awesome. Because mm-hmm. as soon as you try, you've failed. Unfortunately, it's one of those organic, like, you have to hit it things, you know, but you can't really.
There's a lot of awkward, there's a lot of awkward misses. That's
right.
For sure. We're not very good at that, thank goodness. So,
neither are we at the moment, I hope.
I don't prize that sort of, it's almost like misleading headlines, you know? I want to be able to communicate correctly and cleanly. And if somebody, you know, if we come off as a little stodgy, then I'm going to mark that up as the constraints of a legacy brand. I don't have that much freedom yet. Yeah. I still have to be, that's the problem. You have to toe this line between respect and responsibility and interaction and openness.
Right. And I especially imagine that among larger organizations and corporate organizations, again, the small integrator, you just go to the boss and you hash it out with the guy because, mm-hmm. you know, he's right there. He's in the next office over. When you're talking large, multi-state, multinational, in your case, Michael, there's always somebody whose toes you might step on when you start talking total redesign, and you don't want to insult somebody's design currently because their mom might have done it, or you never know who in the company was responsible for that originally. And that's true in small companies too. My first job, the wife of the owner had done all of the original marketing in parentheses or quote marks, sort of her own design ideas. And then it was a matter of figuring out, well, all right, we need a consistent brand, and then we need to steer it in a direction that's going to work for the company without completely offending you.
Yes.
And that's the tricky part. I'm no longer there, so there you go.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a lot more difficult when you have a larger company and you have so many, you know, levels of people that you need to go through, and I think it definitely makes it... You know, it makes it a lot more difficult. But those companies also tend to already have their brand established to a good extent.
Right. And when it isn't established, or once you're establishing it, it probably makes it more difficult to get everybody trained on how to use their brand or to enforce the usage of the brand. You know, if you have a new logo or a new slogan or something, we're going to use this form from now on instead of that form for letters or emails. I would imagine, unless you have some really strict managers in between managing people, getting adoption across the enterprise could be more challenging the larger the company. Is that true in your experience, either of you?
I haven't ever really worked for a large company.
Yep. I guess in my mind, I think manufacturer, you guys are a large company because you're larger than, you know, the 10 of us, but...
Yeah, I mean, digital projection isn't that huge either. I've worked for much larger corporations, and those situations are basically, they can be nightmares from a branding perspective, especially if there is a trend happening that is changing the market, changing sort of the communications area. You know, Twitter was a great example of that. Like, how do you develop a voice for Twitter that reflects the company but isn't salesy? You know, it's accessible. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have all these different hats that you have to sort of pile into one voice a lot of times. And I would say it is not an exact science. A lot of it is from the gut, and you have to find a place from your gut to lead with. And so we lead with culture first, the culture of the company. And if you're doing anything that you feel like, luckily I'm the custodian, so I've been trusted with this role, and I have to question this 10 times a day. But if I feel like the way that I'm reacting or portraying the company reflects the culture, then I can go into any situation at least 90% comfortable. Again, I like a little risk, and I like, I started the Twitter account, I started the Facebook account, I started every aspect of social that we have here at the company, and revamped the website around that and everything in that respect, because I like the openness of it. But it is, you can get yourself into unforeseen situations, and you have to find a place to go with, to lead with. For me, it's my gut.
Right. And that actually is a great lead in to one of our ideas. We're going to be doing a show down the road, and might be our next show, who knows, on some of the massive missteps you can do with social media and your marketing. I guess at this point, some of the classic examples people know, the American Red Cross picked the wrong person to run their social account, or they tweeted from their wrong account and talked about getting slizzard one evening, picking up a six pack. And fortunately, they, unlike a lot of companies out there, they handled it very well and sent out a tweet almost immediately that they'd confiscated the keys and were totally sober for their, you know, they handled it very classy and very well. But there are so many disasters, and if you wait 5 minutes, there'll be another disaster online with corporate folks not knowing exactly what they're doing.
That whole American Apparel issue during the hurricane, when they decided to have their big, you know, coupon or reduced sale, you know, hurricane sale. So in the midst of everyone's, you know, this giant catastrophe, they're holding a 20% off everything sale. Like, and they got some serious backlash for that.
Right. And that's again, we could do an entire show on it, but the idea of newsjacking, I think is the correct term for jumping on a hashtag that's trending just to get some eyeballs for your company or your brand or your product. You know, there's so many risks there that it's just not worth it. Folks were doing that. I think it was, his name left me entirely now. One of the fashion designers did that during the Arab Spring with all of the Cairo uprising last year. And, you know, he jumped on the hashtag and ended up just bringing his whole brand down because of the insensitivity of, you know, there's people out there fighting for their lives right now and you're trying to sell shoes. Don't do that. You know?
Yeah. Class.
So, yeah, exactly. So there are risks. There are risks, and you know, even with something as simple as color choice or brand design, you know, there are infographics and web pages you can find about color psychology. You know, in certain countries or certain parts of the world, you don't want to use red because it symbolizes death, or you don't want to use green because it's bad luck, or it, you know, there's all manner of nuance that you have to consider when you're coming up with your brand and you're trying to look at, you know, look at who your target audience is going to be. Are you ever going to sell overseas? Are you only selling in the Midwest? Are you only selling to Southern Californians who, you know, wear dresses every Wednesday? I mean, how, you know, look at exactly who your target audience is and try to design their needs and what works for them brand-wise. Because if they don't relate to your brand, whether it's the color, the font choice, the logo, your slogan, it's not going to be very successful, in my experience.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons we have two D's in our company name is because Vadio in Portuguese, I believe, means bum. So we added another D.
That's thinking ahead, though. Portuguese.
Yeah. Well,
it's
you
that
know,
Google.
Yeah. And it seems silly. It seems like a silly thing to think of when you're just selling a camera here in Minnesota. But when you do go global, you never know where your product's going to end up. And, you know, I think Chevy learned their lesson in the 70s with the Nova when they tried to market the Nova in South America. And Nova in Spanish means does not go.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what you want to buy in an automobile, one that does not go. So, it seems rather absurd, but you got to think about these things, what the meaning of your colors are, what your logo looks like to someone not in your industry in case it looks like something else. Yeah, there are examples of that. It doesn't have to be dirty, but you know, it just could not immediately make you think of, Well, I saw an example, of course, on the internet yesterday. Somebody had taken a picture of a sign at a truck stop or something, you know, like a rest area. And it was the universal symbol for like men's room, ladies' room, handicapped room. And then the last one, it looked like a Dalek, if you're a Doctor Who fan.
Yes.
It was meaning to say it was a shower for like long distance truckers. But it looked like, you know, this is where the robots go and you will be exterminated if you go in here.
don't go in there, right?
Exactly. So you know, these are some odd ideas that you have to keep in mind when you're developing your brand and your corporate identity for, you know, use in the real world, so to speak. Let's see, we're actually doing very well on time here. Do you guys, what do you think about protecting your brand infringement or dilution? I mean, do you have any kind of policies or do you have people on your staff that just goes out and looks for folks trying to step on your toes?
We've definitely had to deal with that, mostly from companies overseas. But we have a distinct name when the company was started that has now become a generalized industry term. And it's very difficult to research.
Right.
I mean, the name digital projection is now ubiquitous with a technology. At the time, it didn't exist because we were the pioneers of three-chip DLP video projectors. At the time, there's also CRT projectors everywhere. So it's hard for us to do that, but we have definitely seen instances, and you have to protect the brand against any sort of dilution, because it's very easy for people not under your own specific company to confuse a brand that looks like something with something else. And I wouldn't want those people, I don't know these people, I have nothing against them personally, but they may do something that affects our presence in the market and people may misconstrue it as us. And that's the biggest risk.
Right.
That's Kelly? Interesting, though, because, you know, you have a combination name of basically two words that mean something. Ours is video and audio combined, so it's basically a made-up word. So that's an interesting point you bring up.
Yeah, it's nice having that distinctness of Vadio a bit, because if you do a web search on Vadio, most of the references probably relate to you. But for me, it's a nightmare. I have to use a lot of different monitoring services, and I have a lot of custom searches and dashboards and such that I have to keep tabs on at all times, pretty much.
Well, just for SEO and everything.
Well, SEO, it's a little bit of an advantage, frankly, but but it's harder to get a specific read on. Say, if I was going to spend the next 2 hours monitoring company mentions, PR wise. Then I have to, you know, if I look at 20 different postings, 2 may pertain to my actual company and 18 are technology remarks about anything under the sun.
Yeah, right.
So you have to get really creative with your Boolean searches to get a real hard positive on our name.
Right. Makes sense.
It's just another thing.
Yeah. And you know, honestly, until you started talking about it, I hadn't even realized you do have a company name that's meaning a very specific company, a very specific technology, but it's become so widespread in use now that digital projection is a thing. You know, it wouldn't have occurred to you. And just this morning, I read another article, again, not in our industry, but in the marketing world overall, of a similar story, Chipotle. The Mexican fast casual dining restaurant chain, and going overboard in some regards on, you know, we're going against brand infringement on the Chipotle brand for every other food company that might have a product like a Chipotle chicken sandwich, I think was the example they used. Jack in the Box had come out with a Chipotle chicken sandwich. And it's like, well, Chipotle is a generic word for this type of pepper. Are they really infringing on Chipotle, the restaurant? Or in this particular instance, they were, because of the way they marketed it and made it look similar, you know. But, how do companies deal with that? And great insight on how at least digital projection is doing it in our industry.
That's a good point. Because even like if you think about it, Chipotle was a word, you know, before they actually became a company. But if you think about the opposite of that, you think of like Kleenex. You know, right. They developed the word itself. You know, that brand became something, you know.
Kleenex right. is one of my favorite brand stories of all time. Because think about how much work it took to convince an entire nation to call a product a brand versus what it is, tissue.
Mm-hmm. It's very impressive.
But yeah. For how many years, I don't know, 30, 40, 50, however many years, if you polled 10 people on the street, 7 or 8 of them would say that's a Kleenex, regardless of what it said on the box.
Right.
That's a really good example. One of my favorite examples, actually, of how organic branding and marketing is.
And yet, in some regards, it's an over-success. It's almost a failure because they've branded so well. The entire class is now known as that. And it doesn't matter whether you have a Puffs in your hand or, you know, a Scott tissue, you know, nasal tissue, whatever you want to call it, a Scott Kleenex, you know, it's not Kleenex.
I'd say it's an overwhelming win for Kleenex regardless, and it's a fault. Everybody else is in their shadow. If you're a Scott, you're waking up under the shadow of Kleenex.
Well, you're almost you're a generic, you know, you're the grocery store, or the Target or the Walmart generic brand if you're not Kleenex.
That's exactly it.
It's sort of like being a Pepsi in Atlanta.
Yeah, they don't get you don't get a lot of smiles when you ask for a Pepsi. That's for sure.
Well, my understanding is in at least that part of the world, you just say Coke is any sort of cola, any sort of soda product.
Yeah, Coke and pop are synonymous in the Southeast.
Right. For those of us who drink Pepsi, it's a little heartbreaking.
Well, you know, yeah.
drinks Pepsi.
That's right. But no, as a kid, it's kind of the Kleenex thing here in the Southeast.
Right. You know, Band-Aid, Xerox. I mean, there's a lot of similar examples. And, you know, there comes a point where you go from looking at protecting your brand from infringement to just kind of throwing up your hands and saying, well, I guess we win. Now what? Because everybody's using it generically and it's sort of ubiquitous, I guess.
Yep. You're a company then that every small splash you make makes twice the ripples of your competitors who have to make a massive, impact to get a little ripple. So resonance of voice is huge with a company that can convince you, people, that their brand name is actually that product.
Right. So why aren't you out there telling everyone they need a digital projection and all their...
We're frogs like everyone else. We exist within our little ecosystem, and every brand has inherent limitations as well as boundaries. And we aren't a fit for everyone, but the people that we are fits for, I do try to reach them.
Right. Just teasing you a little bit there.
That's the ultimate goal, right?
Yeah, I'm not trying to reach everybody, but I'm trying to speak openly with the people that understand us.
Right. Fantastic. Well, let's see, you know, we're kind of, we could talk for hours about this stuff. You know, we do have a limited time. Michael, thank you very much for being on the show today. And we hope to have you back as often as you're available for future shows. Great insights. I've got like a whole notebook page of things that I've written down wise words from Michael on these topics. hey, you know, when you're a tiny little integrator, mom and pop integrator, you know, we get our ideas for blogs, people we talk to, rape and pillage ideas from the big guys, whatever we can do. So I appreciate it. Any final words or final thoughts on the idea of corporate branding from you, Michael?
Oh, no, it's been my pleasure. It's great talking to you about these things.
All right. Kelly, wise words from Minnesota, land of lakes. Not the butter, the state.
I guess as far as branding goes, I mean it's a combination of a lot of different things and a lot of different facets of your company, and you know, bringing it back to kind of what I said before, it's the combination of vision, culture, and image of your company, not just your logo. And it takes a lot more than, like you said, like designing a color. It's really, it's a whole bunch of things that you have to work on and try and streamline. And I think it's something that, you know, it's an ongoing effort. And, you know, just.
I love that you are the only one who actually did your homework, Kelly. You actually came with a definition. I had no preparation whatsoever.
No, Don puts together all of the stuff, and I'm like, okay, this time I at least have to do, you know, have to do some research beforehand.
You both did a great job. This is the greatest part about conversation, is that unpredictable things come up and we go in unpredictable ways, and it's you know, taught me some things as well. I think it's great.
Awesome.
Yeah, I agree. This has been fun.
I've been part of AV Nation, the various podcasts, almost, not quite, but almost since the beginning of AV Nation. And every show, whether it's AV Week, AV Social, any of the other ones, I learn something every time I'm on the show, hosting, guesting, or just listening in. Something always comes out of the conversation that I say, yeah, you know, that's something that I can use with my company. And today is not an exception. I thank you both for being here and being part of this. I think we just get to remember, if I had any advice for people listening, you know, from my world, from the small integrator world, it's, for the love of God, have a brand. Come up with a brand. Something consistent, so that when you hire a marketing person, whether it's part of your staff or whether it's outsourced, they have something to work with. And, you know, you can't invent things just out of air. You need some raw materials. And so, you know, if you're starting a business, please think of some sort of brand or brand ideas that you can bring to the party. And my only other final thought is, and I think Michael said this earlier, you know, brands are what people say about you when you aren't in the room. So if you are not branding your company well, you can rest assured someone else is doing it for you, whether it's a competitor, somebody reviewing your company, a business ranking list. Someone will always be defining you, especially now that we have social media. So if you take charge of your brand, you can make it work for you and you can make it work for your company. And I guess that's all we have this week for AV Social. Thanks so much. We look forward to having you listen next time.